In Iraq, recent anti-government street protests, inspired by the uprisings in Egypt and Tunisia, were met by a severe crackdown by security forces and the alleged torture of activists and journalists. One of the most intense confrontations took place in late February, when several thousand young people marched in Baghdad's Tahrir Square. As the protesters tried to enter the highly protected Green Zone, the location of most government offices and the U.S. Embassy, Iraqi security forces fired live ammunition into the crowd and used tear gas to break up the protest. 27 people have been reported killed in clashes with security forces, and dozens of activists and journalists have been arrested. Many protesters are angry with blatant corruption under current Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki. Iraqi human rights activist Salam Mohammed al-Segar told the Washington Post, "Maliki is starting to act like Saddam Hussein, to use the same fear, to plant it inside Iraqis who criticize him." In recent weeks, many Sunni neighborhoods, who mostly oppose Maliki, were blockaded by security forces and prevented from joining recent pro-democracy protests. On February 20th, police launched a late-night raid to break up a peaceful protest by human rights activists and journalists in Tahrir Square. Police stabbed numerous protesters, some of whom were sleeping at the time. The Washington Post reported that one journalist was arrested, beaten, and subjected to electric shock, but U.S. soldiers stationed at an Iraqi army base did nothing to intervene. Human rights activists are blasting a new textile trade agreement between the European Union and the Central Asian nation of Uzbekistan as a tacit endorsement of child labor. Uzbekistan, the world's third largest exporter of cotton, has come under increased civil criticism for using school-aged children to pick cotton by hand during harvest season instead of going to school. The Uzbek cotton crop is a vital national priority and a source of foreign exchange for the poor country. The government of President Islam Karimov denies this use of forced labor in picking cotton, but has never allowed the International Labor Organization inside the country to monitor child labor. The new trade agreement was announced in the aftermath of a controversial visit to Brussels by President Karimov in early February. The agreement grants Uzbekistan tariff and customs privileges in the EU marketplace. Rachel Dunbar of Human Rights Watch told the Interpress Service the new trade deal, quote, "certainly makes previous statements of concern by the EU over the use of child labor in Uzbekistan ring very hollow indeed." According to UNICEF, over 1 million children in Uzbekistan pick the cotton crop each year. With a push for a new trade agreement, civil society groups are increasing their calls in Europe to ban the importation of Uzbek cotton, which is primarily used to make clothing sold in Europe. Conservatives are pushing ahead on their cultural war on Islam by promoting legislation that bans Sharia law. This follows last fall's campaign against Park 51, the mosque and cultural center several blocks from Ground Zero in New York City. One of the most extreme anti-Sharia bills is in Tennessee. It makes it a felony to follow Sharia, the core religious principles of Islam. The bill also criminalizes material support for a Sharia organization, defined as two people conspiring to support Sharia law in any state in the United States. The bill was drafted by right-wing lawyer David Yerushalmi, who backed foes of New York City's Park 51 project and is a self-proclaimed Sharia expert. Less well-known is Yerushalmi's association with white separatists. According to Mother Jones magazine, he is the founder of the Society of Americans for National Existence, or SANE. In a 2006 essay on the SANE website, Yerushalmi asserted that whites are genetically superior to blacks and more supportive of democratic norms. Despite his racist rantings, Yerushalmi has won praise from right-wing opinion journals like the National Review and the Washington Times. Abed Awad, an authority on Islamic law, says the Tennessee bill would criminalize core Muslim practices like praying five times a day and donating money to the poor. And civil liberties advocates maintain that the bill violates core values of the U.S. Constitution. This week's news summary was compiled by Bob Nixon. For Between the Lines, I'm Leslie Rudden.